Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
All right. Are you ready for some word? All right. Would you welcome Pastor Terry Wilson? He is going to be breaking the word open for you today. He always has a good word, so I'm looking forward to it. Come on up, brother.
Good morning, Father's Vineyard. All right, all right, all right. You're awful happy. You just smiling from ear to ear. I think you could eat a banana sideways with that smile. Love it. Yeah. Billy Shakespeare said brevity was the soul of wit. Unfortunately for you, I stand before you as a half-wit, so now we're going to beat the Baptist, trust me. We're going to get there. We're going to get there. All right. Oh, what interesting times we live in, eh? Can you tell I've been listening to a Canadian professor? I said, hey, right after that. Hey? But you know, it is, it's a fun time to be alive. I tell you, new life gives me hope because it tells me life does go on. And one of the questions that I get asked a lot by my children here lately, it seems, Dad, was it like fill in the blank of whatever the problem is of today, like it when you were back in fill in the blank? You know, because we are inundated with all kinds of just crazy. My answer is life has always been crazy. People have always been goofy. But the difference is we now have these devices that just pump it in 24/7, just driving us crazy. So unplug. Yeah. So unplug. But I want to give you maybe a little history lesson this morning. And many of you might know this, some of you may not, I don't know, but there was this guy that he was an advocate, he was a mouthpiece, he was a communicator of a certain ideology of its time, of the way things ought to be. And he was well known in the area, in the world at that time. And you know, he was the number one guy. If we need to convince these people, you're wrong, you need to be doing this, they sent him out. He was the dude. He was the guy. He got it done. He was the closer. Bring him in. And something happened to him. He had this epiphany one day, and it just like sort of put him back on his heels, and he figured out. Maybe you've had this like I have. I don't know. Has anyone ever just thought one thing and then found out you were wrong? That happens to me all the time, you know. But he had one of those. I mean, he like the song Blinded by the Light. He was blinded by the light. And he just like, whoa, I was wrong. And the problem, and he may be like me, I don't know if you relate to this, but man, when I believe something, I believe it. I mean, I'm not a half-hearted believer, you know what I'm saying? I'm all or nothing, you know, go big or go home type of guy, you know what I'm saying? And so for a personality type like that to have to repent, it's big. Especially when you're known in the area to be the guy that promotes this. It's like this guy is always saying Ford is the best vehicle. Then the next day, nah, Chevrolet is the way. It was, you know, he switched teams. What's going on? It disrupted the area so much, and he was so effective with his ability to say, no, I was this, but now I'm this. The political establishment, the religious establishment said, we got to shut this guy up. And so they imprisoned him. He became a political prisoner. A political prisoner. He didn't do anything wrong. He didn't commit a crime. He just went afoot from the narrative. Pastor Terry's been talking for a couple years now. And for those who paying attention to what's going on, What was 2020? What was the prophetic meaning of 2020? The mouthpiece. And then what was the prophetic meaning of 2021 in the season that we're in now? What? The muzzling, the dampening, the canceling of the spoken. And so I'm just watching what's going on, and I'm saying, Lord, show me. I know, because I'm going to God like my kids come to me. Dad, was it like this back in? You know, help me out. How did you guys, what did y'all do? And immediately I get taken to this passage. And I know for a lot of you guys, you've been in church your whole life, for many of you longer than I've been alive. But I'm going to do something I'm going to attempt to do something I've never seen done, at least in my time. And that is, I'm just going to talk about the prelude of a particular book. Usually they talk about what's in the book, right? I want to just talk about the first two verses of Ephesians 1. Because there we see a political prisoner in prison that was once the mouthpiece of a particular ideology, a way of thinking. And he flipped the script. He said, nope, I was wrong. Actually, it's this way. And because of it, it caused him grave consequence. It cost him his freedom. It cost him his reputation. It cost him his livelihood. It cost him, listen, the friends he once had wasn't as friendly anymore. How many know we live in a time period, we live in a society, we live in a culture, we live in a period of this moment right now, that if you don't go along with the way they want you to, what happens? You're going to be intimidated. You're gonna be potentially canceled. You're gonna be everything except your God-given name and something nice about you is gonna be said. That's just the way it is, right? So, let's look at that. First two verses. That's all we're gonna talk about. I told you, brevity is the soul of wit. I just hope I can be witty this morning. We'll get it. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ. Right there. Now, why is this so important, Terry? Why are you bringing this up? A little backstory. The next verses from chapter 3 to 23, very interesting. Longest sentence in Greek literature. Longest sentence. Now, only after the folks that came in and scribed the book and everything, they put the sentence or the periods and the punctuations and to make it grammatically correct. But in its original text, that's one long sentence. That's Paul becoming a valley girl. That's why, and then he did this, and then he did this, and then he did this, and then, right? He wrote like I write as a Ruth School graduate, one run-on sentence. And thank God someone came afterwards and fixed it. So there's four areas I want to talk about, and then we're going to get to the buffet, all right? So hang in there with me. But there's four things I want you to see. He says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace, God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. There's four things I want you to write down or take note of. Number one, person, part, people, and power. Those four things is the reason why. Those are the four areas that we have to master if we want to be a change agent in our world today. How many feel like they've got something to say? They've got a message to change the world. How many feel that way? The rest of you who don't, pick up your Bible, because you do. The only thing that's going to fix and change the world we live in is living on the inside of us. And to the point and the degree that we release it and let it go is the point that we experience something different than what we're currently experiencing. Listen, Christ in us, the hope of what? His manifest presence, his way of doing things, his glory, the ability for people to actually see, feel, and experience the palpable presence of God is living on the inside of me. It's living on the inside of you. It's the only way this world is going to change. It's not going to be through some politics. It's not going to be through some, you know, pontificate, some pundit, some other thing. It's Christ in me. That's the only hope this world has. It's Christ in you. It's the only hope this world has. Amen? And so we don't need to back down. We don't need to be intimidated. We don't need to let anyone cower us to tell us that, well, who are you? I'm wonderfully and fearfully made. I'm the creation of God Almighty. I'm the ambassador of hope. For such a time as this, I was created. You know, if this thought, why God, why am I here, why this time period, let me tell you what. Think about the absolute trust God would have in Terry Wilson to allow Terry Wilson to be born in this time period right now. None of us are here by accident. None of us are here by happenstance. We are here for divine reasons, for a divine appointment, and there's no reason why we should let anyone talk us out of our destiny. Amen? You are here for a season and a reason for that season. So let's get into it. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. First thing I want you to notice is he identified himself as Paul. He's like, oh, Terry, come on. Well, his name was Saul. Christ changed his name to Paul. And you know what? It would have been very, very easy for him to say, well, the Romans call me Saul. My backstory is Saul. The reason my teachers called me Saul. My aunts and uncles called me Saul. But he identified with who God called him. Are you still identifying with what that teacher, that aunt, that uncle said to you years and years ago? Do you still hear the voice of whatever critic that replays in your mind constantly? Are you always thinking about that negative word that was spoken by someone that did not have your best interest, that bad boss, that crazy cousin, that weird uncle, whatever? What that tells me is if I ever want to release what God's got on the inside of me, the first thing I've got to do is identify with who God called me. And not anyone else. And I want to tell you, this whole thing about identity, you better get that nailed down.
Well, I identify as a potato.
Well, I don't care. Whew, I never thought I'd live in a time period. What do you identify with? Not what the culture calls you, not what's acceptable. See, by calling himself Paul, he challenged the loyalties that he had. He challenged his livelihood because if he identified, all you got to do, Paul, is go back to Saul. You'll get your credentials back. You'll get your status back. We'll put you back in the Roman hierarchy. You'll be accepted. We won't deplatform you anymore. We'll give you your, never mind. John 1:12 says, this is my identity. See if you bear witness. I'm a child of God. Yes. Romans 8:28 says, I'm called according to his promises. Ephesians 1 says, I'm redeemed. John 15 says, I'm chosen and appointed. Romans 6 says, I'm free from sin. Genesis says, I'm made in his image. Jeremiah says, I'm set apart and I'm appointed. 1 Peter 2:9 says, I'm a chosen royal ambassador of light. Galatians says, I'm a son of God. John says in 15, I'm a friend of God. Ephesians 2:10 says, I'm his handiwork. Philippians 3:20 says, I'm a citizen of heaven right now. Romans 8:37 says, I'm beyond just a winner. Pastor Terry was talking about being more than a conqueror last week, and it reminded me, Evander Holyfield was speaking, I think, at an event for T.D. Jakes years ago. And it was down in Atlanta, and I was watching it on TV. And it's every time I hear "for we are made more than conquerors," I think of that because he talks about all of this training he goes through to become this incredible fighter. And he gets in a ring, and he gets pummeled all the time, to get in there and to fight for this high prize. and to win this big purse and to come home with millions and millions of dollars to do what? To take the check and hand it over to his wife. And he says, I'm a conqueror. She's more than a conqueror. Now, if you think about it, that's pretty theologically sound. Because Christ went on the cross and he took a beating. He came back as the conqueror. He turned over and handed me the check and calls me more than a conqueror. I mean, I think Evander was onto something. We're more than conquerors. We don't just win. We win with a little bit of swagger. We win with a little bit. I didn't have to take that punch. Yet I get the purse. Whew. I don't get it. You know, what was the famous Christian artist in the 90s says, I can't explain it, but I have obtained it. Jesus, your love is so amazing. Kirk Franklin. Yeah. Kirk will preach too. If that's for me, tell him I'll be right there. Psalms 139, I'm just kidding. Psalms 139 says, I'm made by immeasurable planning and design. That's what 130 says, for we are fearfully and wonderfully made. If you break that down, it means you can't quantify it. You cannot quantify in our human intellect the planning and the design that went into creating us. That's who we are. You want a coward? I ain't got nothing to say. What? This is who God says you are. When Paul says, Paul, right there he's drawing a line. Identify with who Christ said I was. Not Nero, Emperor Nero at the time. Not the politics of the day. Not the religion of the Sanhedrin and all of these other folks that want to mold me and make me into this. Do you understand what an affront it was to open the book up and say, Paul, when they all knew him as Saul, all expected him to be this, to play this part, you have a voice. You have something to say. This world will not change until you speak up, speak out, and do what you were created to do. But as long as I am, well, this is who they say I am, this is where I'll never have the authority I'm supposed to operate within by identifying with anything else than who God called me to be. Paul, an apostle of Christ. Number two, so he knew who he was as a person. Number two, he knew the part he played. This is who I am, and this is the part I play, an apostle of Christ Jesus. Now, I'm going to tell you something. We need believers. You and I need to be believers, or Christians that are empowered because we know our part, not because we're trying to brand ourselves something. There are companies, there's people, there's businesses that know how to brand Christianity, to monetize it, but they don't know how to operate as Christians. And you know what? Isn't there a passage that says, you know, all of this, but denying the power? Yeah. Isn't there something to that? It might sell items and goods, but it don't change lives. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, he knew his role, which was an apostle. He knew his reason, which was Christ Jesus. And he knew his resolve. You're not going to, because it's by the will of God. I tell you what, when you understand your part, why I'm here, the reason I'm here, nobody's going to talk me out of this. I've tasted and I've seen. I've tasted and seen. It's hard to talk someone out of something when they've had an experience. I've tasted and I've seen. You know, you can bring every pointed-headed professor you've got. every pontificate and pundit you got. But I've tasted and I've seen God is good. And he's faithful. And I remember a guy wrestling with God, because he knew God had a promise on his life. He knew he was supposed to be something more than what he was. And he wrestled with God all night. And God said, the angel of the Lord said, you're going to have to let me go. Daylight's about to come. I got to get out of here because no one can see my face and live. I got to go. And he said, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. Ooh, when you got that kind of resolve, things will happen. But you got to understand how God blesses us. It ain't the way the world blesses. He didn't go, well, here's your bag of gold. He didn't go, well, here's your $1 million. What did he do? He touched him on the right thigh and gave him a strut. Caused him to walk completely different from then on out. You look like I do after some squats at the gym. Well, I'm telling you, squats ain't no joke. But God will do the same for you. He'll do the same for me, and I'll tell you why. I know that. I go to the back of the book where I hadn't got yet. See, that was the front of the book where it happened in my past, before I was born. But I look to the future where I hadn't got yet, and I read that part, and it says that same deity that was wrestling with that believer is coming back on a white horse. And check this out. On his right thigh, he says, faithful and true. He'll do the same for you. And he's telling us, you wrestle with me, I'll touch you, and I'll bless you. Here's your sign. I stole that from somebody. Here's your sign. We need to know our part if we're going to be effective. And a part has to be ordained and come from God. It can't come from man. I don't know if I should tell this river. River comes in the kitchen 3 days ago, over the email that you got congratulating you for 3 years. He got an email, congratulations, River. This is your third year of being an ordained minister. And I love my son. He's a child of God. He's got a destiny. But I wouldn't ordain him as a minister right now. That's not his part yet. He was laughing because I says, what? You got ordained? Yeah. He says, there's this place out on the internet that, you know, you send them this and do this, and they'll just send you a certificate, license, and everything you need. So he literally can marry and bury in the state of South Carolina right now. Which I think is hysterical. But it explains some of what you see posing as God in Christianity and ministry when it's just a mail-in anointing. See, the Bible says that it comes on by the laying on of hands by the elders, because I know those who labor among me. Now, that's not throw shade on him. I mean, he's going to be there one day. But today, he's in boot camp. He's learning. Nothing, no shame in that, right? But if we're going to play our part, and we're going to listen to others that says, I'm this and that, we better know where that certificate came from. because it might have came in from www.mailinanointing.com. All right. Number three, and we're going to close right here. The other thing that Paul gives us in that opening salvo before he unleashes what theologians says is some of the most rich theological doctrine on the doctrine of grace there. Like I said, it's one long sentence. He says, this is who I am as a person. This is the part I play. The other thing is, he knows the people he's talking to. They're listen, for whosoever will. God came for all. He commands us to go ye therefore and preach the gospel to what? All men. Okay? But I do understand this. I have a certain personality type. I have a certain skill set. I can build rapport with a certain group of people. And there's other people, you ain't gonna believe this. I found out the other week, because I was on the internet, some people don't like me. Beats all I've ever seen. I don't get it. But you know what? That's okay. I guarantee you they'll like Charlie. Because you don't like Charlie, there's something wrong with you. That's your problem. I get not liking me. I mean, I'm an acquired taste. I'm like a spice. You know, just a little bit in the dish is fine. I'm not the main course. I get that. But the point is, if you'll notice, he says, to these people in this area, here's what I got to say to you. If you'll understand who you're speaking to, the audience that you've got, I'm telling you, you'll be way more effective. Guys, there's things I'm going to say right now in here to you that I would never say on this platform or that platform or another. And that doesn't make me compromised. It doesn't make me disingenuous. You know what it makes me? Hopefully a little wise. Because when Paul is in one audience, he says this. But when he's in this audience, he's not saying something different. He's couching it in different terms and different ways. So that why? The listener can hear. Right? You've got a power-packed message on the inside of you. Know who you are as a person. Know the part you play. Know the people that God has called you to. And finally, know the power that he's given you. Because then he goes, grace to you and peace from our God and Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. Peace. Open up anything you do with peace. You know, I love that. I quote it all the time, but it's one of my favorites. She says, Maya Angelou, she says that people often forget what you say, but they'll never forget what? The way you make them feel. I tell you, anyone here new to the South, let me give you a little inside baseball to Southerners. Because I'm just going to spill the beans on us Southerners. We have mastered couching some of the nastiest stuff you can say to someone in the most pleasant way and get away with, bless her heart. Bless her heart. She's dumb as a box of rocks, bless her heart. She just tries. You know. Now, that's just ugly. But that's Maya Angelou's law at work right there. People will often forget what you say. They'll never forget how you say it. Learn to smile. Learn to be happy. Start off with peace, and you will be better for it. Amen? Let me say something over you, and then I'm going to invite Pastor Terry up, and we'll be done. Close your eyes real quick. I just feel led to say this real quick. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace in your comings and your goings. May you find success. everywhere you go. May you be blessed in the city and blessed in the fields. May you be blessed coming and going. May God put the words in your mouth that are supposed to be spoken to the words and the people in front of you. In your name I pray, amen.
Amen. Amen. Good job. Good job. Good word. I don't want to let this opportunity to go by. You've already had one invitation to come to Christ if you do not know him. How many know God has given another offer? He's a God of second chances. He's a God of you can have another opportunity. Maybe the Lord was speaking to you and you just really didn't feel like you had that courage to say, yes, I want Jesus in my life and I want to be born again today. If that's you, would you raise your hand? If that this is you, this is your moment to say, I want to receive Christ in my life. Anybody? God bless you. Anybody else? God bless you. Anybody else? This is your day. This is your day. Brother Doug, if you don't mind, just come down. Would you guys just go ahead and make it official and just come on. Brother Doug's going to meet you right over here. You'll get over here, brother, if you don't mind. Come on, brother. Come on. He's going to softly talk to you. We're not going to get into anybody's business, but this is between you and God. So, how many of you would like to hear Pastor Terry finish what he started today, next Sunday? I would too. I would too. Are you going to be here next Sunday? You're not going to be here next Sunday. You're a one and done person. Just every once in a while. I can't do back to back. No, I'm messing with you. Well, we'll get you back up here pretty soon, and I bet it's a vacation. No, probably. No, but did you enjoy the word today? Did you enjoy the whole day? The whole day. Let's stand up. We're going to close out. From the very beginning to the end, I could feel God's presence. I hope you did. Well, thank you so much for the visitors. Thank you so much for this beautiful family that came today and joined in. It's good to have you guys. Thank you so much. All right, how many of you are ready to go tell somebody about who you are? All right, you're going to do that? How many is going to go tell somebody what your part is? If you don't know your part, come ask me. I'll tell you what your part is. Go to somebody you trust, and they'll tell you what your part is because they'll see it. Amen? Let's make a difference this week in other people's lives. Our life has been made different, so let's make a difference in others. Amen? Father, thank you again so much for the awesomeness of your presence. Lord, we felt you from the very beginning, and we feel your tangible presence now. Lord, you love us so much, and we love you back. And we worship you. Lord, give us a week this week that gives us opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to share who you are with others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.